ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC AFL Daily Podcast time with the former Hawk and Blue 2019 AFLW Coach of the Year, Daniel Harford, and myself, Ben Cameron. Five drops per week. You know the drill by now.
Be a friend, tell a friend.
Be a friend,
it's not that hard.
Spread the word. That's what we're asking of you. And we are coming in hot half because we are waving our Essendon scarves around the place.
Well, some of us are.
For the first time. Yeah, you're a Hawthorn man. You're not such an Essendon man. But Essendon fans were. There weren't many of them here today. But those that were here, the true believers,
yep,
they rejoiced. The Bombers won their first game in 99 days. Only their second game in 31 matches. Their first under the caretaker coach, Dean Solomon. That's where we begin. Our first takeaway of this round. This was sweet relief for Essendon fans and everyone associated with the club.
How good. How good for the Bombers. We've seen them a couple of times live in the last month and they've been woeful, pitiful, horrible. Any other word you can use to suggest a poorly performed team? That was the word that was appropriate for them in the last little while. But today, they were different. They came in from the very start. We wanted to see contest. We wanted to see take away the uncontested possession game of the Giants. They did that. They smacked them around the ball. What was it? Clearances 45-28. And then contested possession, they were plus 14, 134-120. So it was a totally different mindset, a different attitude, and a little bit of different system too. Around the ball, and certainly when the opposition had it, their pressure and their willingness to work their backsides off from an effort perspective, but also systematically to hunt the ball and hunt the receiver was first class. And finally, we think we've seen some DNA of what Dean Solomon might have been trying to introduce to this group since he's taken over.
Yeah, Corbin Middlemass has spoken about the fact that at Essendon in the 90s and the early 2000s, James Hird was Wayne Carey. Dean Solomon was Glenn Archer.
Yep.
Like, he's the passionate Essendon guy, and we saw that today. Like, that was desperation to defend, and finally we learnt from Essendon that defence isn't just for the cows and the sheep in the paddock.
Finally,
they defended half, and look, success leaves clues. It's obvious, isn't it?
It's a funny game, footy. It's a funny game. If you do the simple things easy, the easy things are well and often, you'll get good results more often than not. And they got that today, and it was really simple. They weren't electric with ball in hand. They weren't dominant forward of the ball. Well, they didn't kick enough goals to really dominate a game of footy, really, in the grand scheme of things. But 10 goals was enough today. It was actually lower than their average score for the year, 10-7-67. Yeah. And they still won the game on the back of effort and a little bit of method defensively, and we hadn't seen it. I'm so pleased with the Bomber fans. 99 days it's been since a win, but 2 out of 31 has been a tough patch for this footy club. And the ones that were here, as you said, there weren't many. They would have been absolutely jumping for joy. Well, they were jumping for joy. Mm. And hopefully the car ride home has been the best thing they've had all year.
Hang the scarf out of the window
absolutely.
In the car.
Absolutely.
That's a very Victorian thing. Like, people don't do that in WA. So when I moved to Melbourne, like, I noticed that, leaving the footy, the scarf out the window. It doesn't happen in... I've lived in South Australia too, becoming the man of many colonies. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, right.
I think it's very much a Victorian thing.
Fantastic memories of walking back. We were Collingwood supporters as kids.
Yes.
My family. We'd walk back from Victoria Park, cross the bridge, because you have to park on the other side of the freeway because you couldn't get a park in Victoria Park. It's too hard, not big enough. So you walk the other side of the bridge and you'd be waving your flag all the way, and then you'd get to the car and you'd have a moment where you'd strategically put the scarf out the window, and then back in the old days it was windy windows, not buttons.
Wind it up.
Like you modern kids.
My car still has the windy windows.
Wind it up, and you'd make sure that it wasn't crinkled, and it was a nice, neat fold at the top, and you'd let it, and you'd watch it blow all in the window on the way home. It was fantastic.
How good is that? Just a couple of things out of the game. So Jake Stringer, playing against his old mob, kicked 7 behinds, didn't kick a goal.
Horrible.
Only he and Justin Longmuir have done that in an AFL game. So, dating back to 1990, AFL era, only he and the now Fremantle coach, who did it in round 20 in 2003, have done that. Toby Green kicked 7 behinds in a game, but he kicked a goal. That was against the Sydney Swans. So
Tom Lynch kicked 7 at the start of the year against Carlton, didn't he?
Must have kicked a goal.
Yeah.
So, I'm talking goalless and 7 behinds.
Yep.
We're looking at Jake Stringer and Justin Longmuir.
So, JL will be wrapped to have some company. He'll be wrecked.
I don't know if he would.
The
just brings up the stat.
The annual catch-up was not much fun for JL. It was just him. Now he's got a partner.
He does.
He could have a tennis tournament.
He can
have a golf day.
Whatever he wants. I just want to give a shout-out to Essendon as well, their annual challenge game, which was inspired by a great friend of ours, Adam Ramanaskis, many, many moons ago. So they did it beautifully, and it was touching to see the young kids run through the banner, pose for a photo beforehand. You mentioned the scarf, which jogged my memory, because I saw this young boy who had burst through the banner, and then he was skipping on top of the ground as he ran off, and his scarf was flowing, and the joy from even whatever I am, 80 metres away, was so evident. So it was a poignant moment.
Well, you imagine how much joy he would have been having in the rooms, because the kids were in the circle singing the song with the players post-game. How good's that? So you can imagine the day they've had, the Bombers kids, even just... not even Bombers kids, but just going through what they're going through, being a part of something like that, with the energy in the rooms that would have been at Essendon's rooms at the end of the game. That's fantastic.
Hopefully they might have just forgotten it for a few moments today, which would be nice. Nate Caddy, so this was a concern. Yeah. So playing the game, ruled out, we got told initially illness. We were sort of wondering what, given he'd started the game. Reports came through that he was sort of keeled over, looked like he was about to vomit. Then we got word from Essendon, and as we record this half, we haven't had any further update, but the only update that we have had is that he had an elevated heart rate, went to hospital to get checked out as a precaution. Essendon have said that they'll provide an update at the end of the game. So if we get that while we're recording this, we'll let you know. We don't know as yet.
Yeah, and that's a concern. I mean, there's things, injuries you can sort of deal with in footy and you can just move on pretty quickly. But when you're dealing with a ticker, sounds a bit atrial fibrillation type to me, which is, it jumps up for whatever reason. There's some tachycardia sort of stuff going on there that a few of my family have been involved with. So it's not necessarily a problem, but you just got to manage it if it is, certainly if it's not the first time it's happened. If it is the first time, then they might be a little bit mindful. But yeah, that was a bit of a concern for them. But all the more impressive was the performance of the Bombers without their spearhead forward of the ball.
Toby Green also finished the game with a quad injury. So you guys got stuck into me when I said it could be the last time we see him in Orange. Yeah, like I think we will see him back this year.
Worthwhile sticking into you, Orange. You can't just be dropping those bombs with six weeks to go for a little quad injury. Come on, man.
Well, it was high quad.
No, it wasn't that high.
Flexor.
It wasn't that high.
I was told that the ice was high. Hip flexors are uncomfortable.
It was belly. It was right in the belly, they call it, of the muscle, I reckon.
He'll be back.
So it'll be three-ish. If it's dangerous, if it's a bad one, if it's a tear, it might be four or five.
But if you'll make it close. There's only 5 weeks remaining.
Yeah, but they might sneak into a wild card, so just hit yourself. It was belly of the muscle, but not ideal. For Toby Green nor the GWS Giants, because it made a difference, because he kicked the first two goals of the game for them.
Yep.
And obviously didn't impact after that with his injury. But yeah, it'll be a blow. They've had a challenging season injury on the injury front, haven't they?
Have you ever had a hip flexor? You would have. You're a former elite athlete. Hip flexor massage where they stick the fingers into the hip flexor?
Yeah.
Like, that's the most uncomfortable I think I've ever been in my whole life.
No, there's one thing that tops that, and that's when a chiropractor does your cranial nerves, so the nerves in your brain, but you got to get through the roof of your mouth to do it. That's how they get you.
Wow.
And it's, oh my goodness gracious me, I've never had children in terms of having childbirth, but I can imagine that the pain would be something like that. It was the worst thing I've ever experienced. Yeah. Go to the chiropractor and ask to get your cranial nerves.
I don't think I will. I think I'll give that a miss, half, just on your recommendation. I had a round-wide takeaway today, because that's what we do here on ABC AFL Daily Podcast on a Sunday night. We have a takeaway for each game. But I got a round-wide takeaway. Nobody wants to be a wild card this year, because this weekend we had four teams come in on 8 wins with the chance to jump into the spot. St Kilda were woeful against Geelong on Thursday night.
Well, they got jumped.
They were poor. Woeful's probably a bit strong, but they were very poor. I expected more. I've been big on them recently. North Melbourne lost. Carlton lost, and the Giants lost to Essendon, who had won once in 30 games coming in. So I think this weekend is the best possible argument against a wildcard weekend, because none of those four teams deserve to play what we're labelling finals in 2026.
Well, I'm not a wildcard man myself. We've talked about this a few times already. So I will happily agree with you on that this weekend painted the picture that you don't want teams that are no good in your postseason. Yeah, because it is a final. It's officially a final. The AFL declared that, but it's not.
I don't think they should have.
It's not a final.
I think they should have said, look, if you win the wildcard game, you make finals.
Yes.
I don't think they should have characterised
that.
Why
couldn't they do that?
And semantics do matter in this instance. Like, language around that sort of stuff does matter if you're going to have a wildcard game. I believe
it. Anyway.
Maybe
final, because then it's the eight. So there's your finals. You play a finals with eight teams, not 10 teams. Your wildcard weekend is you win a wildcard game.
Yep.
Fantastic. Have a great time. Put it in the record books, a new column, you'd be fine.
Yep.
But it's not a finals win. Anyway, we're getting bogged down
with
semantics. But, yeah, you make a good case. It was a fascinating weekend. I mean, St Kilda at Geelong is always a challenge, so you wouldn't think they're going to win that too many times. North Melbourne had a really good look for a chunk of that game against the D's, didn't they? You were there covering that. Carlton would be really disappointed not to beat Collingwood. And, well, speaking of disappointment, this performance here by the Giants, Adam Kingsley, I would love to be.
Oh.
I'd love to be sitting next to him on the bus. I want to sit
next
to him on
the
bus.
That's the steam coming out of the kettle, of his ears.
I want to sit next to him on the bus and just have a chat. What do you reckon, Kinga?
I wouldn't.
I'd love to.
The cranial nerve massage sounds more fun than that. Tasmania earlier today, it's been reported by a couple of sources that Ken Hinckley has won the coaching job of Tasmania.
He only presented today. Must have been a good presentation.
He said, that's it. That's
you're
what
our
we
man.
Need.
Stop. Yep. Kenny, you've got it. Stop it. Don't go any further. You're very good. We think you're great. You can have the job.
Yeah.
That's what's happened.
Bizarre if the presentation was today.
Well, that's what we learned.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't said he's spoken to them before, has he? Presented to them before?
I don't think he's presented to them. He's clearly spoken to them. But yeah, seemingly went down there today and impressed, and the job is his. I'm a little surprised that it's not John Longmire. You're less so, aren't you?
Yeah, I think Longmire's ready for a team that's not the finished product, clearly, but is capable of achieving something pretty quick. I think he's a guy that can come in and make a big difference real quick.
I still think he might be live in the Carlton race as well.
I think that's the job for him.
Yeah.
If I was Graham Wright, and I know he likes emerging talent, so to speak, with his past positions, I know he likes that. But if I'm Carlton, I reckon if I get a guy like Longmire, who's a proven commodity, and he's a straight shooter, and he's strong and direct, and he gives really firm feedback and
culture
structure,
guy.
And structure around his culture and game, I think he's the perfect coach for the Blues. Now, I don't know what Wright is going to do, but if I was them, I'd be trying to lock him in as sooner rather than later. I know there's a bit of a time to go with that process, but I think he's the perfect fit for Carlton.
Yep. Oh, I tend to agree with you as well, Half. If I was Essendon, I'd be red hot into him as well, which I don't know why.
Well, that's
why
the race
not.
Now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like if you're the Bombers, you're starting to think, well, how do we play this? Unless they're sort of hung up on the herd thing, which they might well be. They might well be, and even the Solomon thing. I don't know. A part of me thinks, and it comes on the back of Nate Caddy's contract signing.
Yep.
And Campbell Brown said through the week on a podcast that his old man Saul, told him that there's only one reason he signed till 2031, because James was coming home. So that says a bit to me. Because if you're the premier young key forward in the competition, you've got that much leverage.
Yeah.
With new teams, we talked about Tassie before, new teams, let alone established teams looking for key forward talent, they don't grow on trees, those blokes.
Yeah.
You have that much leverage and you signed till 2031, why would you do that for a team that's won 2 and 31? I reckon there's got to be another reason. So I'm reading a bit into that.
Okay. We'll see how it all plays out from here. Collingwood defeated Carlton by 21 points last night, Half. And what we've been running with here on this podcast, on the Thursday night and the Sunday night episode, is that Collingwood are the gatekeepers to the 10.
Yes.
And I think it proved as such again last night, didn't it?
Yep. No, I think you're right. They're a bit of an enigma themselves, the Magpies. I mean, they're 10.5 wins out of their 18 games. They've sort of been that bang average team, sort of 50-50. They've kicked away the last couple of weeks, but they have an extraordinarily challenging draw coming home in the last 5 weeks of the season. But you're right, they're the gatekeepers. I'll tell you one, of all the things talking about before about the wildcard round and the teams that want to be a part of it, I could tell you one thing, Collingwood will want to win. Collingwood will want to be a part of it and finish as high as they can, certainly being a wildcard game if they can. I still think there's an enormous challenge for them to get to that point with the draw they've got on the way home. So that's the challenge. But they will be the team that will fight better than anyone, I reckon, to be a part of this wildcard action come the end of the season.
Just in recent weeks as well, what Collingwood have done is become a team that can move the ball. So in their last five games, Collingwood, They've been the best transition team from D50 to forward 50. And the second best team getting it from their D50 and getting a score. So it's now a six-game winning streak for them.
Yep.
It's seven consecutive wins over their chief rivals, Carlton.
In fairness, that hasn't been a big challenge of recent times.
No.
Well, that 2023 was.
Yeah. So I think it's their sixth straight win against Carlton as well. I might have made a little boo-boo there. But
so they've got Adelaide next week.
Yep.
Geelong.
That's a massive game, isn't it?
Geelong at the G. West Coast over there, which is always a bit of a challenge. And I quite like West Coast and what they're doing. Hawthorn at the G. And then the Brisbane Lions at the G to finish. So, like, Brisbane, Hawthorn, Geelong, Adelaide, four of the last five. You'll earn your spot if you're the Magpies. So they will be the gatekeepers. But they'll fight better than anyone. Gee, they work hard defensively. They're such a well-structured team. They're such a well-coached team. Now, whether they finish wild card or not, or higher, it doesn't matter. They are such a well-coached team because I don't think their list is very good.
Yeah, I agree with you, Half. But as long as they've got Nick Dacos, we'll see what comes of it for them. Half, maybe this could be your half serious, maybe not. But imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, my mum always told me growing up.
Yeah, it's true.
Last week, we did the five weirdest things in our Indigenous game.
Yes.
And I was scrolling through Instagram on Thursday night as I was down at the Cattery, and I heard some of this.
From Viking rows to traffic cones, the World Cup really opened our eyes to some strange fan rituals. But trust me, the AFL's a weirder. Does the AFL have the weirdest traditions of any other sporting code? I'll let you decide. Like all major sports, the AFL has its quirks. Here are some of my favourites. Every week, hardcore fans create these huge banners out of crepe paper and sticky tape. Why? We literally destroy them before the game even begins.
Sensational.
Awesome. In the AFL, we also love a sing-along. And honestly, sometimes the songs are low-key good. Don't know the words? Totally fine. A lot of the players don't know them either.
Half, I've heard enough. I've heard enough.
What's going on?
That was our first two as well.
We set the agenda for the whole... That's the headquarters account.
Yep.
That's the AFL account pinching our gear.
We said that Swanee would be listening as he drove in.
He does love the potty.
So I don't know if Swanee's heard it and he's gone and told the social media department, look, I've got a good idea for some content.
I'll tell you what I've got.
How about that?
I've got some feedback for them.
Yep.
Fair suck of the sauce bottle. Like, come on, man. You can't be pinching other people's gear. That's our good stuff. Mm. To set the week up on the ABC AFL Daily Podcast, five drops a week to be a friend, tell a friend, all that sort of stuff. We drop the bombs early, and then everyone wants to come in and claim the credit. Yeah. Fair suck of the sauce bottle, AFL HQ.
We're not having
Have a spell.
And I've got a new top five this week. I don't want to see it on the socials later in the week.
Can I just add one to last week's?
Yep.
Because we put this out there on the socials, and it got a bit of traction, got a lot of feedback. Mm. And I had some direct messages from people in the industry.
We had Brownlow medalists commenting on it.
Yes, we did. I had direct message from people in the industry, and one of them really caught my fancy, tickled my fancy, was that we play the opposition song. We welcome them to our venue. We play their song. What other sport in the world welcomes the opposition to their venue?
As they run out?
As they run out.
Good point.
I reckon that's a ripper.
Yeah, that is odd. Why do we do that?
Why do we do that?
We're welcoming. That's why, I think. I don't mind it. good addition, though, whoever that was from. Earlier on today, the Gold Coast Suns defeated by the Western Bulldogs. So the Western Bulldogs defeated the Gold Coast Suns by 9 points. This might be the Bulldogs' best launching pad since 2021, is our takeaway from this game, Half. So they've had a lot of similar seasons since 2021, where they get to a spot, maybe play a final, lose a final, don't really make a run at it. Yep. 11 wins this year. Can they springboard? Can they finish top six from here?
Well, I'll give them three more wins. I'll give them next week against the Tigers. They'll win that game. They'll lose to Freo away. They'll beat the Kangas here at Docklands. They'll beat Carlton here at Docklands, and they'll probably lose to Melbourne in the last round at the MCG. So that gives them 14 wins.
Which is basically where they were in 2024 and where they were in 2025.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So it's not really helping.
It's not really their best launching pad. It's the same as it's ever been.
They're just living. They live in football purgatory, don't they? Yeah. In that middle rung of the ladder, bottom end of the finals, top end of the rest of it.
But that said, I mean, 2021 they caught lightning in a bottle and
it did
made a run to a grand final. 2016 was similar. obviously, when they won the flag. Yep. So maybe that's just the way it's going to be with Bevo.
Who they are. Maybe that's just who they are. Now, they've had their own injury concerns, and obviously losing Sam Darcy at the start of the year changes the whole dynamic of their plans and what they would have been working on through the off-season. You know, some guys you can lose and some guys you can't lose. He's probably the one you can't. Montepello's the other, I suppose. But, they've lost games they should have won this year, I reckon, and they've won games that probably they shouldn't have. So they sit in that world. I reckon that you're right. That's just who they are.
Earlier on today, half, Richmond were defeated by 70 points against Hawthorn. And just a quick takeaway out of this game, James Sicily's short fuse could be a serious weakness for Hawthorn come the final. So if you didn't see this on Sunday, if you're listening on your Monday morning or whatever else, James Sicily got in a little tussle with Ryan Mansell.
Yep.
But he just blew up again. He was howling at the umpire. He was howling at Mansell, who missed the shot. And he could see that he was steaming and he was uncontrollably angry, half. And it's just, he's the captain. I heard Cal Sinclair, who was broadcasting the game for us, saying, look, he's got to be better than this. And it could be costly come finals. And I agree with him.
I wouldn't mind betting, because there's been a few little blow-ups of recent times from Sis. I wouldn't mind betting that if it hasn't already happened, that there's a bit of a, let's go and have a coffee, Sis, with Sam Mitchell. Let's just have a chat about what we need to do in the back end of the season, getting ready for a finals campaign, where we are genuinely starting to become premiership contenders. And that second spot's going to be fascinating, too, to see how that ends up, now that Fremantle have locked away the top one. But I think if there hasn't been, there needs to be a bit of a conversation with Mitch. And nothing over the top, but just, mate, we've got to sort of get this right. You can't be carrying on like this in big moments in big games. Now, the game was won. So there's a bit of a, for today's situation, I think they were sort of 70 points, 80 points up anyway at the time. Game was over.
Which is kind of the point.
Well, but sometimes you can sort of lose your mind because it doesn't matter. But the question is, are you disciplined enough to not lose your mind when it does? And that's the challenge, I think, for Sis at the moment.
So the Bulldogs, remember when they played Hawthorn, Will Lewis went to him and we had Ed Richards post-game, and he basically said, we knew that we could get under his skin.
Yep.
We set ourselves to get under his skin all week. And we had Cameron Ling and Mick Malthouse up here in the box calling the game. They basically said, like, he's lost it. He can't focus. He's not organising the defence. He's entirely distracted.
Yep.
And it's completely impacting the team. So not even from a leadership point of view.
Was he discombobulated?
He was discombobulated. He was entirely discombobulated. I don't even mean as a captain, but from a leadership point of view in terms of direction. And it cost them. So I think teams will keep a close eye on that, and they'll go after Sicily in finals.
I'd be doing it every day of the week, making sure you get someone just to antagonise the hell. Like Patrick Voss is the perfect player, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's the he's the poster boy for annoysis.com.
Yeah, he certainly is. Geelong defeated St Kilda on Thursday night, 27 points. Wasn't the best performance out of St Kilda, but are Geelong's premiership hopes even worse off after a win on Thursday night?
Yeah, well, you lose Cameron that'll be the year for him, you'd reckon. And then you lose Holmes that'll be close enough to the year for him. It certainly doesn't help, doesn't it? It doesn't help their premiership chances if you got two of your absolute match winners. Like, they're not just good players, they're match winners. So that's a huge problem for the Cats. They're sitting in wildcard position at the moment. I wouldn't have thought Chris Scott would have thought that he'd be sitting there come round 19 or whatever it is at the moment. So that's a real problem for them. They got over the line because of the way they jumped the Saints at the start of that game. Home ground is a factor. But then Melbourne, Collingwood, Essendon, they win. North Melbourne here, and then the Tigers to finish. So they'll win the last three minimum. If you give them four, where does that put them? That puts them at 14 wins as well. Sort of sits in that bottom end of the six, you'd reckon. Maybe top of the wild card.
Yeah, probably top of the wild card with that.
Yeah, because Brisbane and Adelaide and Melbourne are 12 wins already. So the Cats are 2 wins behind them. So they're probably top of the wild card. So you go into your wild card, which means you've got to play another final, and you haven't got Cameron or Holmes.
Yeah.
Let alone the other challenges you've got. Oh, good luck.
Chris Scott summed it up. He basically said, if you asked me a couple of weeks ago which players I wouldn't want to lose, Cameron and Holmes would be pretty high up. So
they're probably the two.
Probably the two.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't be happy with that.
Tom Stewart's the other one.
Tom Stewart.
He'd be the third.
I did the game here yesterday between Melbourne and North Melbourne. We've done a lot of the Demons this year. They won by 16 points over North. Our takeaway here is your answer to this question, half. How far can the Demons go in 2026?
Well, I've got the number 4 seed for the premiership. I've got Fremantle, Brisbane, Hawthorn, Melbourne. as the key contenders for the premiership. So I think they're legit. Now they didn't. I don't think they're at their best yesterday against the Kangas.
So you don't have the Crows the up there either, or the Swans. Nope. Okay, you got Melbourne ahead of them.
We got to have
on the basis of the MCG.
MCG.
Yeah,
that is 100% the reason they're the fourth seed. I think they're in that window where it's not free hit because there's once you get to the finals, every game's huge and there's enormous ramifications either way. So it's not the free hit syndrome, but I think they're riding an enormous wave of positivity, not momentum, but positivity. Yeah. I think they're different things. And they have such inner belief now that what they are doing is worthy of obviously viewership and attention, but also worthy of success. And I think that's a really different mindset that perhaps they haven't carried the last couple of seasons. So throw that in with a relatively healthy list and the MCG, and I think they put themselves into contention. So I've got them number four on my premiership rankings chart.
Oh, I think they can win a final, but I'm not sure they'll go a heap further than that. Max out at a prelim maybe, but I think it's probably win a final, which would be an incredible year given what we expected from them.
Yeah, but that's win a final, get to a prelim, that's contender.
Prelim contender. But I think that's like the absolute ceiling.
Oh, I don't know. I reckon you're underestimating their capacity.
Maybe I am. I've been wrong before.
Only once I reckon in my time.
That's when I thought I'd made a mistake. Automator used to say that. I loved it.
That's funny.
The Brisbane Lions and the West Coast Eagles. Brisbane too good, winning by 24 points. The takeaway here, Half, is your answer to this question. What would you be willing to give up to get Kyle Loman into your club? And what would you be willing to pay him in terms of a monetary salary? He's out of contract at the end of 2027.
What are you going to give? What? Why would he go?
Money, really. He's also a Victorian from Ballarat.
Yeah.
So he might be a three-time premiership player.
So if he's won two, he might win three.
You get a big money offer.
Well, he would. He would get a big money offer. He'd be $1 million.
He'd be certainly close to it. Kicked four goals last night, Loman the Showman. 18 disposals.
He's a big game player.
Yeah, big game player.
You know that when the pressure's coming, you want the ball in his hands, or he wants the ball in his hands, and he'll execute more often than not. So he's a $1 million player. What would you have to pay for him? That's a good question from a draft collateral or player perspective. You're talking two first rounders, aren't you?
Yep.
I think.
Yeah, so he won't be a free agent.
He's not Jeremy Cameron.
No.
But yes, that's right. So you've got to pay overs.
Yep.
So I think you're talking two sort of mid to late first rounders. I don't think it's two top tens, but
no, I think that's about right.
Mid to late first rounders.
And you'd have to pay him well.
And you have to pay him $1 million.
Very, very good player.
But he'd be enjoying his world up there. Yep. Premiership's out of his ears. Sunshine, lollipops. Yeah, good.
Life's good.
Life's good when you're...
House on stilts there in Brisbane.
I always wanted a house on stilts.
Yeah, me too. Did you see the Harley Reid incident? So he got bumped by Noah Ransworth, hurt his ankle, then had an issue with the step.
Yes.
Got me thinking, Half.
Oh, here we go.
My top five for this week.
Is that top five?
Top five.
Oh, I derailed that before, sorry.
Ben's top five weirdest injuries in footy.
Oh, okay. Right.
So very few of these are on the ground. In fact, none of them are on the ground. I've just looked at the list. Stevie Johnson jumping the pub fence to get back in after being booted out.
Yep.
Breaking both ankles.
Fantastic.
That comes in at number five.
Fantastic. That's Stevie, really good.
You've been kicked out.
So that's number five.
Number five.
Five is the fifth best.
Fifth best. We're descending.
Okay, righto. Because last week there was no particular order.
No particular order.
So I get concerned about your top
five. I've got order this week. Sherrod Wellingham's trampoline incident. Injured his ankle.
That.
He was bouncing on a trampoline, did his ankle, couldn't play for a few weeks. We had Shaz on the other week on the Thursday app. He spoke about it. It wasn't good.
I don't remember
Max
that.
King concussed when hit by a golf ball.
Fantastic. That's a bit stiff not to be number one, actually.
Yeah, that is very stiff.
Because that's random. Like the chances of it happening, let alone the outcome, and it cost him games of footy.
Mm.
Oh, poor old Maxie.
Ryan Peake, the golfer who spent time behind bars, got out, has won the New Zealand Open, now plays on the DP World Tour. His first competitive round out of jail, he got hit by a golf ball. Like, he was walking down the fairway, ball from the other fairway, someone's drive, hit him in the chest. He thought, I'm not sure I'm meant to be playing this game. Like, what is going on?
Who got Maxie?
I don't know. Unnamed golfer.
Wasn't one of those Western Bulldogs that does the podcast, was it?
No, I don't think so.
For a scalp.
Dana Hooker comes in at number two, was cooking in the kitchen, knocked the knife off the bench, hit her in the foot, severed her tendon. Yeah. Was out for the season, I think.
Man, missed the whole season. Yeah, that's right. In the AFLW, she did too. That's a good, well done.
Yeah.
Because that was, how stiff are you? If you drop a knife in the kitchen, try and avoid it, and it then stabs your tendon and you're over.
Yeah.
Oh, how flat would you be that you work your backside off in a preseason to get ready, and you just drop a knife in the kitchen and it's all over?
Coming in at number one, my all-time favourite, Nigel, not so smart, walking on the hot coals in the Adelaide preseason camp, as taken by Alex Blackburn, who was the instructor.
How stupid.
He got them to walk on the hot coals.
Why would he do that?
He missed a preseason game.
Why would he do that?
So I've had great insight to this story. I used to work with Ben Hart. He was on that preseason camp. He tells me, Graham Corn says, put your hands up here. Who wants to have a go first? No one puts their hand up, obviously. I say, oh, well, it's your idea, Smarty, so you have to do it. He goes, okay. So they go away in pairs. Oh, sorry, in threes. And it's Sean Tasker, Benny Hart, Nigel Smart.
Sean Tasker.
And so they have to come up with a mantra. And they come up with cold sand. So they practice walking towards the hot coals. Cold sand, cold sand, cold sand. And anyway, Benny Hart reckons they're 100 metres away. They hear the fire pit get lit. He goes, we can feel the heat from 100 metres away. So anyway, we walk up to it. We're walking along. They're walking along. Cold sand, cold sand. Ben's on one side, Tasker on the other. Not so smart in the middle. And they're going, cold sand, cold sand, cold sand. Apparently they get close. Sean Tasker goes, it's hot! Nigel walks on the hot coals, burnt feet, gets the green whistle, misses the preseason game with burnt feet.
Lucky it was only a preseason.
I think he said something other than the cold blank sand, before it's hot. So any time it was hot, no. Benny Hart and I would say to each other, Sean Tasker, it's hot.
Cold sand, cold sand, cold sand. No, that's just one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good top five from you. I had one before, thinking of it when you were talking about Stevie Joe's hotel fence jump. Who was the bloke that was throwing the frisbee? The Collingwood bloke throwing the frisbee?
Yeah, Jeremy Howe.
Jeremy Howe.
Yep. Had a thumb injury that was considered, but left it out.
Oh, right. Yeah,
it was pretty weird, though.
There's another one, too. What was that?
We'll rattle through here, Huff. Keep thinking. Sydney defeated by Adelaide back on Friday night. Darcy Fogarty handed a three-game suspension out of this match as well. Is Adelaide's season mirroring 2025 more than we realise? They're only one game better off this point last year.
Well, we talked about this earlier in the season on this very podcast, on this very one, but the same name, that Adelaide's year will not be defined until we get to September.
Yep.
Because last year, fantastic, home and away champs, all that sort of stuff, but they go out in straight sets. So it actually doesn't matter what they do up until September. It only matters what they do in September. As far as I'm concerned, I'm sure there's Adelaide footy fans out there that think, oh no, you're still going to keep winning and present yourself and all that sort of stuff. In my view, they will only have improved or grown if they can win a final in September. So that's all I'm looking for from Adelaide. I don't care if it's an elimination final. They need to win a final. They need to be in a position where it's all on the line like it was last year and show some growth. I think they could probably do it. I think they can win a final.
I think they can too.
But that's all I care about with them.
The last game for us to run through, Port Adelaide defeated by Fremantle, 28 points. Our takeaway here is Fremantle just did what they had to do.
Yep.
And they have the best burst in the competition. I had some numbers around that, but I might present that tomorrow night. Huff, love your work.
How good.
Be safe. If you've got some spare time after finishing this pod, go onto YouTube, find the footage of Nigel Smart walking on the hot coals.
Cold sand.
So stupid. It's hot. We'll see you next time. This has been ABC AFL Daily.